Blog Talk Radio.
Singing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare the glory amongst the nations, his marvelous deeds amongst all people. For great is the Lord and most worthy of all of the praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nation are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say amongst the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the people with equity. And let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant. And everything in them. Then all the three of the forests will sing for joy. All the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his truth. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to just be in your presence, and we invite you to come and dwell with us. Come, dear Father, and just share your word. Dear Father, as we sit around you and we just listen with open hearts, open ears, open minds, let our spirits just connect with your spirits, dear Father. Let it be a divine interaction in our homes, in our cars, on our jobs, wherever we're at right now. All of our attention is on you. May we all just decrease in any situations or problems that we had. Dear Father, we just bring them with you. And right now, with your permission, the way that you gave us permission to do, we reach inside of us, all around us, in our minds, our thoughts, and we just give all of those concerns to you right now. All of the things that we've been carrying, we're so glad that we can get it to you, Jesus. We've just been waiting to get this to you, and now we just want to lay it down at your feet. All of our cares, all of our sicknesses, all of our troubles, all of our worries, all of our problems, we just lay them down here at the altar. Hallelujah, Jesus, and we take our hands off of it. As we extend our hands to you, we say, Abba, Father, we thank you, Jesus, for being our protector. Thank you for being the one that takes care of our problems, our issues. And we'll touch them no more. We leave them in your hands. And we go on to worship and learn from you that we may live productive lives. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So our scripture tonight came from Psalms. And it was the book of Psalms, and it was chapter 96 entirety. Again, the book of Psalms, book of 96. And Psalms is kind of like literally almost the middle of your Bible. So turn and just hold on to that. Read back over that and see what God has in there for you as you read through Psalms 96 and learn how to sing to the Lord are new songs, and how you see that the trees even are singing to him, because he's worthy, and he's coming back for with his reward, our rewards in his hands, as we spoke about on yesterday. We're speaking a little bit today about God's purposes in our difficulties. Have you had any difficulties in life? What about you? And you, ma'am, have you had any difficulties in your life? I asked myself, I pointed myself, and I can tell you, yes. I, like you, and you, and you. Everyone, if you are alive, you've had some difficulties in life. Even at birth, at the moment of birth, and that baby is crying. It's crying because of some difficulty. It's out of its normal environment. The air has hit it. It's different. It's a difficulty there. It's something that is causing him to cry. So that is a form of a difficulty. So we all experience and will continue to experience difficulties in our lives. Amen? We will continue to experience some types of difficulties. You know, Job struggled with the loss of his family, his friends, even his earthly possessions. He struggled with the loss of his health and almost lost his mind. You know, we talk about what we would have been able to do and how we would have handled the situation had it been us in Job's situation. But some of our difficulties that we face in real life, right here, just like it was real life for Job, this is not a story, this was real life for Job. You know, when we go through a little bit, not even as much as he has, we throw up our hands. Sometimes we want to commit suicide. We abuse our families because of these things that we're going through. Sometimes we just totally just leave our families, and we don't want to talk to anyone. We don't want to be around anyone, and we just totally block everybody out. And we just isolate ourselves in some little cave. You know, but God has a purpose in your difficulties. Remember, he said it, his word. If you believe the beginning of his word, you should believe it all the way through. And his word says that he would never leave you. He said he would never forsake you. He said he will be there with you at all times, through all trials, tribulations, good times, joyous times. He's still there with you. Call upon his name through them all. And I'm so glad that you have decided tonight to just bring all of your cares, all of your concerns, and lay them down and give them over to the Lord. And if for some reason that you have not, it's still not too late. See, it's no need for you to try to solve that issue, ma'am. You've tried. And everything that seemed like that it would work for you, it didn't work. There's no need for you to continue to try to solve that situation. It's out of your hands. It's beyond your reach. You can only get so close, but you can't make that true connection with peace, that true connection with harmony. Because it's not for you. It's time for you to lift your hands up off of it. It's time for you to let go and let God. And I know you say that you are the one who always keeps the peace and bring things together. But has it really been working? Because, see, sometimes on the surface people will say one thing, but then they leave your presence and they go right back in the wrong direction because they never found the true peace that they was looking for to start with. Hallelujah. We get so caught up in trying to please each other that we forget that it's God's directions that we should be following. Amen? So sometimes we get to the point that we consider ourselves as little gods. As little gods. But we just read in our scriptures that all the true glory belongs to our Father, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we should worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness because he is holy. He is holy. And that we should fear him. We should fear him above all other gods. You know, sometimes we put the words of different illness and diseases as our God, and we begin to fear those. But the name of God, our Savior, our Abba Father, for great is the Lord and most worthy of our praise. He is to be feared above all gods. That means every knee must bow to him. I don't care what name, if it has a label, it's a title. It must bow down to the name of Jesus Christ. It must bow down to him. So whatever your situation is, it must bow down to it. So don't worship and put it up on a pedestal. Hallelujah. Breast cancer, prostate cancer, pneumonia, AIDS, HIV, whatever it may be. Don't put it up on a pedestal. Don't walk around proudly and boldly carrying it around, holding it up for the world to see, because you're waiting for a little moment of pity from someone. Drop it. Lay it down at the altar and leave it there. What needless pain that you're carrying around when it's not yours to carry. And it's all because you just do not carry it to the Lord in prayer, and you leave it there. You have to practice leaving it there from time to time, too. Some of that stuff gets stuck to you, and you have to shake that thing off. You get so used to being shackled up, you have to remember that you're free. You get so used to being bound that you have to remember that you're free now. You've been taking that medication for so long, you have to remember that you no longer have to self-medicate. Job almost lost his mind, amongst other things. But as he walked through, as he kept on moving through another day, as he walked through the valleys of his life. Now, just imagine, he's looking for sharp-edged rocks to try to scrape his skin just trying to find some release from this internal itch that he just can't quite get to, but he's still fighting, trying to get some release. As a little girl and through my life, and now that I'm getting older, it seems to return back, and I've always had little bitty things that I've been allergic to a lot of different things, but I've had a lot of different little things that kind of get to me, and from time to time you get that itch that you just can't scratch, and I have Gobine I can get to, or I have some medication, but Job is trying to reach out for the sharpest rock that normally you would consider is like a razor, it's so sharp, but just trying to get to that itch. Hallelujah. Almost lost his mind as he was going through that valley. And that valley had shadows all around it. And the images of those shadows and the way that he must felt after losing so much in such a period of time, when he could reminisce on what he had and now look at where he's at, after losing all of that, those shadows started to resemble death. They started to resemble death. It started to resemble, why was I even born? But as he continued to make it through those valleys where those shadows of death was all around him, he became out victorious. And God never left him. And God didn't let him die. But in exchange from being scooped up into those shadows that was representing death, God exchanged his pain for provision. And through that provision, Job came out with more than he ever started with. Job Turk can really testify that he was in a mess. He was in a mess. Job had a message to tell the world. Job is still telling his story, I'm sure. Job's test was just beyond some of the things that we can even imagine. And we know how it feels in our test that we're going through. We think that this is it. It's over. Oh, wow. I know you feel me. I know some of the pain that you've been going through. I feel someone right now has got a heaviness in their heart. And just to take that next breath, it's painful. It's painful as you're trying to just breathe, something that we take for granted, but it's painful to you. I ask you to put that at the altar also. and lay it down. Hallelujah. I just feel a release. I just feel if you just take it to the Lord and leave it there. Hallelujah. I feel like that you're going to sleep tonight. Hallelujah. I feel like it's going to be peace in your mind tonight. I feel like that you're going to shout for glory because you know, and all that know, you know that it had to be Jesus Christ because the doctor said there's nothing else they can do for you. Oh, it's a machine around you, and you're not going to need that tonight. The machine is loud. You're not going to need that tonight. You're going to be in peace, a peaceful sleep tonight. Now, the choice is yours. Hallelujah. You just got to come and lay it down. He's willing. He's ready to take it. He has a purpose in your difficulty because it's not over for you yet. I know you're even preparing for it to be over, but it's not over for you yet. God has a purpose in your difficulties. You sitting behind prison walls right now in North Carolina and all the difficulties that's been going on for the last couple of years, God has a purpose in your difficulties. And if we could choose the number of difficulties that we each would face in a month's time, most of us would pick the same number. Most of us would pick zero. Yet God sees value in troublesome times. Through his mighty power, he uses trials to achieve his plans. He uses those trials. So don't give up because you get bad news. And don't start, you know, hey, live your bucket list. I'm a firm believer of that. Live each day to the fullest. Enjoy life. But don't let your mind get so caught up on the difficulties that you're going through, the troublesome times, that you forget that God sees value in your troublesome times. Through his mighty power, he uses those trials, those same trials that has us worried, those same trials that has us committing suicide, those same trials that has us blowing up people, those same trials. If we just hand them over to God, he will use those things. All the things that the enemy tried to put in your mind and make it look like it's just bad, it's terrible, it's no way out of it, he will take those things and snatch out the bad and use it for the good. Hallelujah. He uses trials to achieve his plans. And one of the Lord's purposes for us is a growing intimacy in our relationship with him. And we've been speaking about that. But he knows that we struggle. We struggle to put him first over our own interests. He knows that we struggle. And many of us place higher priorities maybe on our families than we do in our relationship with God. Many of us place higher priorities on friends than on companionship with God. And then for others, it may be our finances that we lift up higher. We're working all the time, trying to get our portfolios to look exactly like you want it, or like you imagine it to be. I don't know if we ever get there, because if we get to that goal that we reach, we still want it to be even more. So many of us, it may be the finances that God is standing up waiting on, but we're in competition. So it becomes more important than our companionship with God. It could be our work or even just our, you know, some pleasurable interference that interferes with our relationship with God. But when the Lord sees our attention is drifting away from him, he might use hardship to draw us back. And he do that so that we'll give him his proper place. So he may use hardships. So that's why we remind you, God's purpose even can be used through your difficulties. Hallelujah. Another reason that God allows difficulties is to conform. It's to conform us to the image of Jesus. We've got to be willing to have a conforming spirit. It's to conform us to the image of Jesus. Pain. That mighty four-letter word, pain. Pain is a true thing. Pain is a tool. It's a tool that brings areas of ungodliness to the surface. I tell you, you know, you can be, as an example, you may have been a curser all of your life. And then you, as you grow in the Lord, and you find that those words just don't even sound right coming out of your mouth anymore. You don't get the reaction from people that you used to get when you would just throw them out there in general conversation. And it's got you to the point that you can literally say, you know what, I'm not even a curser any longer. But that word pain, pain is a tool that brings some areas of ungodliness that's deep down off inside of us that we thought we were totally through with. We didn't have to deal with that any longer. We thought that was in our past. But sometimes pain can bring those things to surface. God wants to show you what's still in there that you still got to deal with. So, Mr. and Mrs. Perfect, when you're preaching to somebody else that is all over with and you sin not at all, and I dare you say this, I dare you do that, you have to check yourself, because when you're in the midst of pain, sometimes some things that come out of you that you wasn't aware that was still sitting dormant in you. And then that thing comes back alive. Be in the midst of some error and somebody stomp your toe. Be in the midst of in a grocery store and someone and your kid or something runs that grocery cart up on the back of your foot. Do you know what I'm talking about? I remember my kids doing that to me, and they remember it too, the reaction, I'm sure. But that pain, what comes up out of you? God brings different things to surfaces through that word, through that pain. Because, again, he's trying to conform you to the image of Jesus. And pain is one of those tools. God also uses pain to shift us, to shape us, and to prune us. You know, the sanctification process, the building of Christ-like characters into our lives, it just doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. You got to go through some shifting. You got to get shaped up for it. Hallelujah. You're trying to get in the image of God. Some shifting. Get some stuff out of the way. Shift from the right over to the left. You got to put some things down. Pick up some new things. You got to get shaped in the right perfection here. Hallelujah. And then you got to get pruned. Some of the things that you're still carrying away should have been thrown away. It's in your past. You got to put that in the archives and leave that alone. He's got some new stuff up here for you. It's a sanctification process, which is just a building of you. It's a building of Christ-like characters into our lives. It starts at salvation, and it ends with our last breath. And that's important to recognize. Our sanctification process starts at salvation, and it ends with our last breath. So that just lets us know that we're still a work in progress. I don't care, from the bishop down to the last person that's in Lodabar. We're still a work in progress. And I say that because sometimes we feel like, I'm here, I got it. My cross is bigger than yours, so I've got more. I got a deeper relationship. My sanctification is complete, and it's indicated by this cross. Don't you see my cross? Or we carry this huge Bible, and we're saying, well, don't you see? When you see this huge Bible, it should automatically come to you and say, ding, ding, ding. They have completed the sanctification process. I got this brand new car. I have this, you know, the best of the best of cars, of homes, of businesses, of jobs. I shouldn't have to tell you that I have completed my process. You should be able to look at my status, look at my bank account. And it should automatically tell you, whoa, reverence this person, for they have completed the sanctification process, the building of Christ-like character. But I come to remind you that thus said the Lord, that your sanctification process is a life-going thing, starting at salvation and ending when you take that last breath. That last breath. And then a third aim for stressful circumstances is just to reveal true convictions. True convictions. Our faith. See, our faith is tested in tough times, right? Because we can always talk about, you know, we have faith for this and in this area and that area until it's time to be tested. So our faith is tested in tough times. It's easy to say that God is good. When things are peaceful, when everything is going good for you, it's easy to, girl, God is good. Yes, he is. God is good. I just got my new Bentley. God is good, girl. I got that promotion. God is good. I got the twins already prayed for. I got the white picket fence. Everything is going good. I have no noticeable needs right now. And even my desires has been met. God is good. When everything is going good, when everything is peaceful. But when everything goes away, when what do you believe about him when the twins die? When the stock market falls and you lose your home, your husband cheats on you. What happens when you get so sick that you can't enjoy the Bentley anymore? What happens when everything is taken away from you? What do you believe about him then? Do you still believe that God is so good? At such times, do our words and our actions reveal an attitude of trust? What true conviction is revealed when we're going through those things? Hallelujah. The Lord is never taken by surprise. He's never taken by surprise. I invite you to rate the show. Again, you can reach us at welcomemegod@aol.com, or you can call us at 210-253-9093. And this is your host, Evangelist Von Dumas. And someone was asking me to repeat my first name. Von is my middle name. It's Lorelia Von Dumas. Or you may know me as Lorelia Von Harwell. But rate the show. Get in touch with us. We enjoy speaking with you and helping you out in any way. Let's continue, shall we? The Lord is never taken by surprise. Whatever is going on in your life, it's no surprise to him. He knows what's going on. He knows your ups. He knows your downs. Nothing gets past the Lord. He knows everything that we're going through. And he is orchestrating our circumstances for both our benefit and his glory, according to his goodwill. So he's in the midst of it. Nothing gets past him. You don't have to worry that, oh, he doesn't know that little Johnny is sick. Oh, he doesn't know what's going on right now. Somebody call on God. Somebody tell him what's going on. What did Mary and Martha say? If you had just been here, our brother would not have died. It's your fault. You were not here. But I know that you loved Lazarus, and I know that if you had just known what was going on, if you had just been here, our brother wouldn't have died. And we feel that in many circumstances. But we got to remember that he is orchestrating all of those circumstances for both our benefit and his glory. Just according to his goodwill. His will be done in our lives, not ours. And one purpose for hardship is just to cleanse us. Because our own flesh, our flesh nature, and the self-absorbed world we live in is easy. It's easy to develop me-centered attitudes. It's easy to get mixed up priorities. It's easy to get ungodly habits. So it's to cleanse our flesh. It's to cleanse us, because this flesh, this nature that is around us, it gets self-absorbed easily. See the pressures bearing down on us from stormy situations. They're meant to bring these impurities to our attention. Knock, knock, knock. Hey, Vaughn, you're not all the way there yet. Hey, Johnny, you still got some work to be done. Hey, ma'am, God is not through with you yet. Hey, just because he's opened up some doors for you and he's gave you a few more opportunities to do some things, don't get all high and mighty. Give him praise. Go down on your knees. Instead of jumping up high for my high and mighty for the world to see what you're able to do, just continue to go farther on your knees. Stay on your knees, Father, thanking him. Hallelujah, praising him. He wants to bring these things to your attention. And it's meant to direct you, direct us to a place of repentance. If he brings it to your attention, don't stay there arguing with someone about a situation, because through that stormy situation, some of these impurities have now been brought to your attention. It may not have been presented to you correctly, but stop and really do a self-examination and say, whoa, I didn't even realize that, you know, this is what I'm showing to the world. This is what's really going on inside of me. You know, do that self-examination and then repent. Repent. All of this should always bring us back to repentance so we can move forward. We must repent of our sins. And so many times we're not being taught, not even in our churches, that we need to repent. We cannot just jump on over this. It's not hopscotch. You just jump over this one and you want this poor person here to go down on their knees to repent, but we never find it in our hearts to repent. We just say, well, okay, you know, they dealt with it. They brought it to my attention. Okay, fine. That's just me. That's just the way I am. My mama was like that. My daddy was like that. That I'm too old to change. Can't teach an old dog new tricks. Or I'm just too young to change. Maybe when I get older, then I'll change. It's been brought to your attention right now at this moment, because God is desiring you to do something about it now, right now. And it should lead you to repentance. Should always lead you to repentance. Amen? Amen. Our trials are not intended to sink us, but rather to purify us, rather to guide us back to the way of godliness. That's what it's about. And then another reason for adversity is just to teach us how to confront others. Teach us how to confront others. Hallelujah. God works in our lives. It's not meant solely for just us. His works that are in our lives is designed to reach a world that doesn't recognize or doesn't even acknowledge him. I'm going to say that again. God's work in our lives is not meant solely just for us, but it's designed. I mean, it's crafted. It's designed to reach a world that doesn't even recognize him, that doesn't even acknowledge him. The Lord uses the pressures that we face to equip us for serving others. The pressures that we face, it equips us in how we serve others. Others are watching to see how we deal with those situations. How do you deal with the loss? How do you deal with not getting that promotion? The world is watching to see how do you deal with it. And you should be a living example that I'm still not going to bow down to the enemy. I'm still not going to bow down to the world. I'm still not going to get with whatever it is that the world is saying is right when I know that the word says wrong. I'm still standing on God's word. I'm still on my knees praying. I'm still carrying a smile. I'm still trusting in God. I'm still believing in God. I'm still obeying and serving God. I'm still making myself available to the Lord. I'm making myself aware to the situations that he's wanting me to go into. I'm still trusting in the Lord. I'm still believing in the Lord. I'm still going to allow myself to be a conforming spirit, to be used, all these tools to be used to shape me and shift me and prune me. And as they bring my opportunities to surface, I know that repentance is my way out of it. And I understand that the things that I'm going through, my true convictions, my sanctification process begins at salvation, and it goes all the way until I take my last breath. The Lord uses the pressures we face to equip us for serving others. And as we endure our sufferings, we will learn about God's sufficiencies. As we close tonight, I want you to know that his comforting presence and his provision of strength to help us endure. You say, how am I ever going to make it through this? Because if you accept his comforting presence, he will give you provision. And you can draw on his strength, not your strength. You said, I can't do it. You can reach out and draw of his strength, and it'll help you endure. Our testimony during times of difficulty will be authentic to whom those that we minister to, and they will recognize that we know and we understand their pain. What credibility would we have with people in crisis if we ourselves have never experienced a deep need? How would you know about a mother wearing, where is she going to get her family's next meal? If you've never been out there and helped anyone in those situations, if you've always had every meal supplied to you and you didn't even know it was a need for anyone, your need may not be in that area, but if you never have had a deep need, how would you ever know how to help someone else in a crisis? That's why it's no one who's living, I don't care what your wealth is, your age, your gender, we all have needs. We all have troublesome times. We all go through crisis. We all have to go through the sanctification process. King David endured many heartaches, a disinteresting family, personal attacks, and betrayal by those close to him. But through his trials, he gained deeper intimacy with God. He gained a stronger faith, a more godly character. Won't you let the Lord use your present situation to accomplish his good purpose in your life today? And reflecting on a divine purpose behind our hardships, it can help us respond to him, respond to all of those around you in a God-honoring way. So we're not flippant, but we understand what they're feeling. We understand. Because reflecting on the divine purpose, now that we know the divine purpose of our heartaches, that God is still there in our heartaches. Hallelujah. We can respond to all of the ones around us in a God-honoring way. We can take the time to fix our attention on the Lord. And will you just take out time to just seek to understand what he wants you to learn? His lessons often unfold gradually, but he will always be walking by your side the entire way, always. If you don't know the Lord, I ask you just repeat after me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God, I believe that you are the sovereign Lord. I believe that there is none like you. I trust in you, Jesus. I thank you for giving your son and that he died and shed his blood to cover my sins. I invite you to come live inside of me. I repent of my sins, for I am a sinner. Come live inside of me. Dwell with me, not just for now, but forever and ever and evermore. In Jesus' name, thank you. If you just prayed that prayer, you're a new creature in Christ. It's so important that you just reach out. Let someone know of your decision to follow Christ. Again, this is Evangelist Von Dumas. You can reach me at 210-253-9093, or you can use the email walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can always leave a message here at the Blog Talk, or you can hook me up on Facebook, Twitter, however that you choose. God has an outlet and an avenue just for you. And remember, God's purpose in our difficulties should always lead you back to awareness, bring things to your attention, and lead you to repentance. He's not gone. He's still right there. Well, I love you, and Jesus loves you more. God bless each and every one of you. God bless my mother, sisters and brothers, nieces and nephews alike, and special blessings on my children, JD and LaMeca, and my grandkids, Tatiana, Nathaniel, Janelle, and James. I love you. Bye-bye. Cold.